भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Sufalkina Mai Anurakta Chittaha Vigadha Bhavena Na Me Viyoga Tivra Adhayaha Anyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Swafalkina Mayi Anurakta Chittaha Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Tivradhyonyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Swakalkina Mayi Anurakta Chitta Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Tivradhyo Anyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Svalkina Mayi Anurakta Chittaha Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Tivradhyo Anyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Valki Namai Anurakta Chittaha Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Tivradhyonyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Sufalkina Mayi Anurakta Chittaha Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Stivradhyonyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ladies Ramena Sardham Mathuram Pranite Svakvalkina Mayi Anurakta Chittaha Vigada Bhavena Name Viyoga Divradhyonyam Dadrushu Sukhaya Ramena with Balaram Sardham with Mathuram the city of Mathura Pranite, when brought, Sufalkina, by Akrura, Mayi, myself, Anurakta, constantly attached, Chittaha, though this consciousness was, Vigadha, extremely deep, Bhavena, by love, Na, not, Me, than me, Viyoga, of separation, Tivra, intense, Adhyaha, who were experiencing mental distress, anxiety, Anyam, other, Dadrushuhu, they saw, Sukhaya, that could make them happy. Translation Prabhupada by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The residents of Vrindavan, headed by the gopis, were always completely attached to me with the deepest love. Therefore, when my uncle Akrura brought my brother Balaram and me to the city of Mathura, the residents of Mathura suffered extreme mental distress because of separation from me and could not find any other source of happiness. Purport. This verse especially describes the sentiments of the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, the gopis. And Lord Krishna here reveals the incomparable love they felt for him. As explained in the 10th canto, Lord Krishna's uncle Akrura, sent by Kamsa, came to Vrindavan and took Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura for a wrestling event. The gopis loved Lord Krishna so much that in his absence their consciousness was completely absorbed in spiritual love. Thus their Krishna consciousness is considered the highest professional stage of life. They were always expecting that Lord Krishna would finish his business of killing demons and return to them. And therefore their anxiety was an extremely moving, heart-rending display of love. Anyone desiring true happiness must take to the devotional service of the Lord in the spirit of the gopis, giving up everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Krishna Uddhav Samvad, one of the very special aspects of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Many, many valuable lessons which Krishna spoke to Arjun. And here, because there is a different type of mood prevailing than the war situation, Krishna spoke in detail to Arjuna, but it was a war situation. So the purpose was to motivate, encourage and dissipate the doubts of Arjuna. And the goal of the Samvad was to activate Arjuna to perform his duties in a spirit of Krishna consciousness. That was the setting and that was the purpose. In Krishna Uddhav Samvad, which is 11th canto, the purpose is very different. And therefore, Krishna is at ease. There is no pressure of time. There is no pressure of any forthcoming event. But two very deep friends, Krishna and Uddhava, are the deepest of friends. In fact, there are three Haridasas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam explained the three Haridasas. One is Yudhishthira Maharaj, second is Uddhav, and third is Haridas Varya, that is Giriraj Govardhan. Right? The three topmost servants of Sri Krishna. So we can imagine there is a very deep relationship being exchanged between Krishna and Uddhava. And Krishna is comfortable and at tremendous ease to go into the depths of what he would like to explain, not only to Uddhava, but through him to the world at large. So that the conversation is very deep. Therefore, he is talking directly about the gopis here, which obviously he would not talk at the level of Kurukshetra because there was no time for that. It was a pressing emergency. So here, Krishna is sitting back and very lovingly, happily reminiscing that event which took place when he was about, it is said, 10 years and 4 months. This was something around the time when it happened. So of course Krishna is now grown up. We don't know when actually, but in maybe several decades afterwards, Krishna is still remembering, you know, the event which was must have taken a big toll on Krishna. We can see here, Krishna is expressing, because of Krishna's nature of being yethamam prapadyante, that means he perfectly reciprocates. A human being is different than Krishna in so many ways, but in one sense we are different from Krishna because we cannot reciprocate perfectly with somebody else's emotions and sentiment. We don't usually understand what a wife is going through or what the husband is going through or what our children are going through or what our colleagues are going through, what our boss is going through or whatever, right? We aren't able to understand exactly because we are not the Lord in their hearts. As simple as that. So to the best of our understanding of how we perceive people's face and emotions and language and communication, we try to reciprocate in a meaningful, sensitive manner, and that's a good human being who at least tries to reciprocate. But you know, nobody can match Krishna in this regard because Krishna exactly knows how to reciprocate with different types of people. Exactly. In fact perfectly. Right? Why? Because he knows deep within heart what is your motivation, what is your sentiment, what is your you know, sense of feeling, and how deep it is or how superficial it is. He knows exactly, and therefore he can exactly also reciprocate. That makes Krishna so special, among other things that he's special also, of course, about. Right? So here, Krishna is exactly feeling in this episode when he's narrating what gopis felt. The gopis, he knows that it was the high point of their relationship, actually. Right? As we are explained in the more higher realms of bhakti, that there is two emotions. One is emotion which comes about by union or sambhoga, and another emotion which comes up when there is separation or viyoga or viraha, or also called as sometimes vipralamba. Different words meaning the same thing. Right? So, these are two primary emotions between Krishna and pure devotees. Not impure devotees. So this is not, these words are not used for sadhakas. These words are usually used in a level and a realm where there is already establishment of love. Unless you reach a level of love or maybe just preliminary to the stage of love, of bhava, we don't use sentiments like, we don't use things like viparlamban because that will be considered as premature and sentimental and sometimes even, sahajya. So, Krishna is feeling perfectly the love of his dearmost devotees. And as we know, the episode is regarding when Akrura, who is another pure devotee of Krishna, in the role of Krishna's uncle, right, has been sent for a very devious purpose. He is in the camp of Krishna's worst enemy. Krishna's worst enemy, the worst enemy of the Brijbasis at the time, was Kansa. And he had a complete, deliberate, most intelligent plan to destroy Brijbasis headed by Krishna. So he had sent, of course, so many demons for that. Many of them having failed and being killed, Kansa thought it wise that when I send people from my side to his side, from then they get killed. Maybe I should call him to my side. When he comes in, like you call home pitch, right? When he's under my control, when he's in within my realm of Mathura, where I have the highest, and I can exercise the highest amount of control, then when he comes in my territory, it will be far more easy to destroy Krishna. With that, he didn't send out anybody, but he sent somebody like Akrura, who knew had a very soft heart for Krishna, and they knew that relationship was there. So he sent Akrura to bring him here, because he will not deny Akrura's invitation. Plus, Akrura had this very special role of being a person who not only was working professionally for Kamsa by being paid by him, but his heart was with Krishna. So working with the enemy, but your heart is for somebody else. So it's a very, very special role Akrura is showing, that how you can be, you know, doing something for someone else, but your heart can be somewhere else as well. Like something like Sanatan Goswami, who can be working professionally for Nawab and doing it perfectly well. Not that you are a traitor, not that you are a Namak Haram or something like that, but you are actually a person who loyally is serving the master perfectly, and yet his heart is not with the master. His heart is with somebody else. Your heart is with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who wanted to join full time. So we find advanced devotees can do that very, very, very effectively. So Akrura is, you know, the whole prayers come in. Now Akrura is in anticipation. They're supposed to be the best prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? And the best way to approach Krishna is expressed. We all need to understand the ways to approach Krishna, because we don't know how to approach Krishna. We don't know how to approach the spiritual master properly. We don't know how to approach the Vaishnavas properly. We need to learn all these things. All the more how to approach the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes, the Supreme Creator. How do we approach Him? We don't know, right? But we learn. We learn by following the footsteps of the great devotees, by understanding the sentiment and the mood and the bhava of Akrura. How he is in anticipation when he is going on the way to Vrindavan. He's lost completely in that, you know, in that spirit of what will happen in Vrindavan. And so he had a lot of Aishwarya bhava, a lot of love. Anyway, the high point comes when actually the gopis come to know that tomorrow Krishna is leaving Mathura. And that's the time when things really start, you know, a tremendous amount of disturbance comes over the entire land of Braja. Until now, the gopis had kept themselves, their love for Krishna, sort of concealed, sort of, you know, in the background. They would not probably overtly come up and express the love to Krishna. Right? They were kept it sort of behind doors. It was more like a secretive love of a paramour. But now they decide that it cannot stay like that. We have to imagine pain. What is spiritual pain? Right? There is material pain, there is spiritual pain. Pain is there. Pain is a part of life. So when you think about pain of separation between the body and the soul, right? Then we are told that it is equivalent to 40,000 scorpion bites. Right? So intensely, immensely attached person who is living encased in the body for whatever number of years, 50, 40, 60, 70, 80 years, when, because of intense attachment, when the soul, the resident is leaving his residence, right? That pain is equivalent to 40,000 scorpion bites at one time. Not one by one, at all one time. You can imagine how intense is that. One ant bite or a mosquito bite is enough to cause a lot of disturbance. More talk of one scorpion or one snake. You know, that is all sounds very theoretical, but the figure is there. So imagine that pain is a material pain. Now what is it, what will be type of pain which a pure devotee would feel, something like the gopis, when their soul is leaving them? Their soul is Krishna himself, right? So when that soul, and this is a pure relationship, the pure relationship, and there is complete union of the soul and the Supreme Soul together with the exchange of pure devotional service. The relationship is not mundane, it is not material, it is nowhere like lust, as a common man misunderstands this event, right? It's compared to like iron. Lust is like iron and pure love is like gold. Both may appear to be like metals, but iron is a useless, cheap, low-class metal, but gold is something so precious, right? So there is no comparison in one sense. So the gopi's love is not mundane, but it is pure, right? So now there is immense pain. So here Krishna himself is saying there is intense material distress taking place between the two. So then there is so much of pain taking place, and Krishna is perceiving the pain. And you know, who would do this? Who would just lie down in front of the chariot? Something like Sanatana Goswami, he wanted them to lie down in front of the chariot to give up his body. Right? So the gopis are like holding Krishna, holding the chariot. They are lying down in front of the chariot and said, if you have to go to Mathura, you can go if you want to, because you are independent. But the only thing you have to do is to go over our bodies. And that's the way you can go to Mathura. So, you know, these are very high topics, obviously, right? So we can't understand so much of that. But it is true that Krishna does put his devotees, this seems to be Krishna's way of enhancing love, right? So he did, even like Lord Ramachandra, he did this with the Ayodhya Vasis, right? There was a Leela, of course, but then this experience was very much there of how the pain took place between the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna, residents of Ayodhya and Lord Ramachandra, the residents of Navadvip and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So in all the three Leelas of the Lord, whether it is Leela Purushottam, Marada Purushottam or Audarya Purushottam, in all the Leelas, the Lord did express something very on similar lines to enhance the devotee's love for him. Because when you separate out from your beloved one, your love enhances. And that is Krishna's ultimate desire, to increase our love. That's Krishna's one thing, to increase our love. Right? So how does all this connect to us? How does all this connect to us as a sadhaka who is struggling with his senses, you know, who is still very much in the land of illusion? How does that connect to us? So, first of all, we have all a journey to perform. Our journey is from the land of lust to the world of love. That's our journey, right? So these things are being discussed here for us to understand what that realm is about and how great and how high, how exalted, how pure is that realm of unalloyed love, and where am I? I am right down here at the bottom, my consciousness, right? And I have a huge journey to perform. The journey from lust, converting lust of my heart to love. That's the only journey of life, right? To eliminate Ravana's tendencies and replace them with Hanuman's tendencies, right? So journey is from giving up the Ravana inside to becoming Hanuman, right? Ravana separated Krishna, Ram and Sita, and Hanuman united them, right? So that's our journey. So for a sadhaka, this journey is a journey where something very important has to be learned to be able to perform this journey. When we see Hanuman's journey in his attempt to bring Sita back to Ram, we find that there is a lot of scope for exercising what we call as control over temptations. When Hanuman is flying in the sky, then the Mainaka mountain comes from under the ground, under the ocean, right? And Mainaka is not just a mountain like dry, drab. It's a very verdant, lush green, lakes, flowers, fruits, a golden mountain, right? It's a huge promise for any resort or any destination for having sense gratification, right? It's just a perfect place, far more than Ambe Valley or, you know, whatever else people can think of in this world, right? It's just a perfect place to really relax and have a good time. So Hanuman is being tempted that you are going on a very difficult journey, Hanuman. Is it not? 800 miles flies. It's a long journey. Even by flight, 800 miles is pretty long. You know, it doesn't just happen in half an hour. It takes a few hours to. Even by flight, which flies at almost the speed of sound, close to speed of sound is the sign of is the speed of most of the airplanes, close to. But even then, it takes so much time to reach, you know, 800 miles. So you take relax for a while. So this indicates that our journey to find the devotion of our, to find Bhakti Devi, which is Mother Sita, will have a lot of temptations on the way. Where there will be always a, this thing where, come on, relax, don't be so intense. Take it easy, Bhakti. Come on, relax. Don't be so fanatic. Relax. Right? So this tendency is the one which actually creates, and what is the result of giving to this tendency? The result which most devotees almost always go through, right? Of course, they have to fight it out with spiritual muscle, right? But almost always there is a tendency to give into this, and that creates a result of complacency, lethargy, right? Or something like spiritual exhaustion. Said, hey, I don't want to fight. So we've been told that you have to always be a warrior. We never knew till we joined ISKCON what are we getting into. We thought it was just ABCD. They just taught us that, right? It's very simple. Prabhu, it's A for association, B for just books, read them, distribute a few of them if you can. Chant Hare Krishna, need a lot of prasadam, and D for dancing, philosophizing is just a small part of it, right? So we were just conned into ISKCON. Very lovingly, happily, the ABCD formula, knowing that adopting the ABCD formula would mean you're declaring a war against Maya. We didn't know that when you're trying to come to Krishna's camp from opposite camp, right, that actually what you're doing is you're declaring a war against the entire material energy, right? Sounds very scary, right? Me? I can't fight a small, you know, a dog also. A dog attacks me. I cannot take care of a dog. You know, what to talk about, you know, fighting a snake or fighting a lion or a tiger. You know, fighting a big gorilla or a big wrestle man or a big muscle man. He just punches me and, you know, I cannot fight a muscle man also. And I can't fight anybody, right? And I'm supposed to fight material energy? Are you kidding? Is that what your ISKCON guys are supposed to be teaching us? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Whether we know it or not, we have taken diksha, we have taken vows, we are part of this great society of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. And now you are in Mahaprabhu's army and supposed to fight the enemy across, right? That's what it is. So what are our choices? Essentially, I was thinking there are four choices. Only four choices. Because there are two things only in this world, Prabhupada explains. There is Krishna and there is Maya. There is nothing, there is no third entity. There's just nothing. There's just nothing in the world other than, it's very clear, it's black and white. There's no gray here at all. Somebody says, well, in wildlife there has to be gray. But in Krishna consciousness, there is nothing like gray. It's Christ did not like this also. He said, either you are hot or you are cold. If you are lukewarm, I spit you out. Right? So even the acharyas don't seem to like this gray area when it comes to bhakti. Either you are hot or you are cold. Right? Or it's Krishna or it's Maya. That's it. Right? So then what are the possibilities? Two possibilities. So then we say yes. Is it possible to say no to Maya, no to Krishna? Is that a possibility? Is it a theoretical possibility? Now we're talking a little bit analytical now, right? Talking a little bit analytically. Just to derive at some important conclusion. Is there a state of consciousness where you can say no to Krishna and no to Maya? Answer is no. Because you have to be under one of the two, right? There is no neutral zone. So the possibility of no Maya and no Krishna is theoretically impossibility. So let's take the next one. Is there something like yes to Maya, no to Krishna? Yes. there is a huge possibility. There's imminent possibility and it's a great possibility. Right? So that's what our friends outside have done. Right? Those are not in this room and those are not, you know, within the frame of Vaishnava culture. They are, that's possible, they had accepted with love. Right? That they are saying no to God and yes to Maya. Okay? So that's a materialist. That's a consumer. That's a sense enjoyer. So that's what his life is about. So is that something for, relevant for you and me? No, so that's also out. We lost the second possibility. So there are only two more possibilities. Right? Yes to Krishna and no to Maya. Is it possible? Yes. The fourth one. Yes to Krishna, yes to Maya. Is that possible? Yes. Yes, it is possible. So there are, for a sadhaka, there are only two possibilities of consciousness remaining. Because we eliminated with analysis that it is not relevant to us. Two possibilities. Yes to Krishna, yes to Maya. Yes to Krishna, no to Maya. What are the difference between the two? Right? For the gopis, it's only yes to Krishna. For a pure devotee, there is no other possibility. But for you and me, who are called as Tatastha Shakti, right? There is an immense possibility of trying to keep our legs on both the boats. Right? That's typically us. That's typical Indra syndrome. Right? Where, this is the Indra syndrome. Right? Indra syndrome, what is Indra syndrome? Indra syndrome is typical mixed devotion. Where he wants a huge yes to Krishna and also a good amount of good yes to Maya. So both are being called, as you say, the best of both worlds. That's the best of both worlds. Right? So that's and what does it really mean? It means that we are saying yes to Krishna. But we also, what is this third consciousness? Yes to Krishna, yes to Maya. That's what we are struggling with right now. I think we all need to first appreciate the fact that we are struggling with this level of consciousness. Let's appreciate that first. Right? Let's sink into our consciousness that we are all at this stage. Right? There is nobody in this room who is not at that stage. Only a pure devotee will say, well, he'll not say that of course, he will say. But we understand. He will say, well, I'm the fourth category. But we know that a pure devotee is not part of this game. But we are in this game where we are yes to Krishna and yes to Maya. And what is our journey? Our journey is to say more and more no to Maya and more yes to Krishna. That's our only struggle. And that struggle is defined by the single word tapasya. Tapasya is a far more deeper concept than Nirjala Ekadashi or fasting on Janmashtami or, you know, this and that, right? Getting up at 4 in the morning. These are all good tapasyas and we appreciate and we should do that. We are part of that. It's a beginning of living a life of discipline. But it is not the end of tapasya. Real tapasya is internal and not external. Real tapasya is how we are able to say with more conviction no to Maya, yes to Krishna, right? So the more we make that decision, it is not an overnight journey. It's not like, okay, today, now, no more Maya. Decide, now no more Maya. I've taken Diksha, now khatam. It doesn't happen, right? It's a constant endeavor. It's a prayas to keep on saying no. So that is called as temptation management, right? That means we are managing our temptations which are coming from inside and from outside. Now, a typical example is an example of Kala Krishna Das, right? Who is a typical example for sadhaka of one who said yes to Krishna and yes to Maya and he went into a mess. Right? So we need to appreciate deeply, analytically, this possibility of Kala Krishna Das, who is none other than the personal servant of the most Audarya Avatar, Lord Chaitanya, who's so attractive in his pastimes, he is going through Jharkhanda and what he has done, what he is delivering so many souls, he's conquered people with his love. He's just seeing the most amazing thing that any other person has ever done. He's just seeing live that this person who I'm walking with, whose kamandalu I'm carrying and whose clothes I'm offering and whose bhoga I'm carrying to him, this person I'm carrying, this person is the most amazing person you can ever imagine. He just walks on the road, absorbed in a deep emotion of love, goes into ecstasy which nobody has ever seen. He's seeing Mahabhav live. He's seeing Mahabhav live in his inner quarters, right? And his external consciousness, he's seeing, he's delivering like nobody else has ever delivered. He's looking at people and giving them prema bhakti, putting them into ecstatic love. The way he talks, his grace, his features, the lotus-like eyes, his limbs. He is the same Krishna who is all attractive. Imagine you're staying half a feet away from the most attractive person constantly for days and months and months and months. Right? Narad Muni saw Krishna just for a few seconds in his meditation and he was completely captured by that. And he gave his whole life to look for that person. Right? And here's a person who is staying for months together with the all-attractive Lord. With no distraction, absolutely nothing else. Nobody else is taking away his time. He's constantly with him. And yet, when the organized gang of Bhattaharis come with their intoxicated women, right, to take away, you know, weak characters into their camp, Kalkrishna was not a difficult victim for them. He wasn't a difficult victim. He was an easy victim to them. He just got allured. And he was in the camp of the Bhattaris. Because in his heart, he had still not resolved to say no to Maya and yes to Krishna. Even though he is with the Supreme Lord, you can be with the Acharya physically, you can be with the pure devotee physically, and still not make this resolution. Right? So that eliminates the possibility of thinking that the safest place to be with a pure devotee all the time. It completely eliminates this possibility. This is not a safe place. Maybe in fact a dangerous place. Right? To think that I am safe with a pure devotee, that I am totally safe. Answer is no. Right? We will have to learn the art of following instructions. Right? And taking shelter of instructions as the only way. Because only two or three people can be with the pure devotee all the time. Who are fire-like. And therefore they can be with the fire. But most of us are not like fire. If you are not like fire, you get finished. You get destroyed. Right? So you have to be like fire to be with fire. A pure devotee is like fire. It's fire. The fire of bhakti is burning so intense. If you touch him, you will get burnt. If you're not of the same quality. Right? So that's only for a possibility for very few, handful people. But the majority of disciples, well-wishers, admirers, followers, siksha disciples, etc., right, have to learn the art of associating with that same devotee or so many pure devotees by learning the art of serving through the Vani, not the Vapu. Right? So then, by following that on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, on a week-to-week basis, as a constant endeavor, prayas. Right? What is the prayas? The prayas is learning and gaining strength to say more and more, not Maya. Because she is also coming from within. It is so treacherous. She's coming from within. Outside Maya, well, outside Maya means, well, there are three things. Three primary enemies which are attacking us. Two from outside, one from inside. The Bhagavatam talks about this. From outside it is money and women. The biggest temptation from outside. And from inside is the call for prestige. The desire for prestige. So Srimad Bhagavatam analyzes this as three. Primary. There are many, many more. But externally it is the women folk, that means opposite sex, not nothing against the women, but opposite gender, and the desire for opulence and money, these two destroy and capture away my aprita chetasam. Chetasam gets kidnapped. And the internal thing is, which we have to fight against, that which can happen to devotees also, is the desire for pratishtha. But I'm a special devotee, I'm a great devotee, I'm a great preacher, I'm this, I'm that, right? So that also, most of us devotees have to battle with that. Because we do attach a sense of speciality to ourselves. I'm special in this way. This is something special about me. So we seek recognition, appreciation, adoration on those fronts, which may be really uniquely endowed qualities in our Krishna consciousness, right? So we have to know that that's coming from Krishna as a blessing of the Guru and the Acharyas and nothing to do with me. I'm in possession of something which I've been received from the parampara and my spiritual master, but it's not my possession, right? So unless we recognize that, so we will still be affected by the internal anartha of pratishtha or desire for prestige, right? So then, therefore, this, when we keep on doing that regularly, and when Krishna sees that we are really struggling to say more and more yes to Krishna and more no to Maya, then we attract what is called as grace. The factor of grace is not cheap. It doesn't come just by standing from the deities and folding hands and just praying something, right? It's nice, that's to pray. But what Krishna wants to see when you are not with Him in the temple, what are we doing when we are not with the Lord? How is our mind working? How are our words coming out? And what is our behavior? So, are we in alignment with Krishna as far as thought, words and deeds? Karmana, manasa, vacha. When karmana, manasa, vacha, three things become aligned with Krishna, that is perfection of yoga. The perfection of yoga. So then, that's a struggle for us, all sadhakas, that how we align our karmana, how we align our vacha, and how we align our manasa, right? With Krishna's desire. Krishna's desire. So another way to fight this, another strategy to fight this consciousness of yes to Krishna and no to Maya is to deeply believe what is the propaganda of Maya. The propaganda of Maya is very simple. Very simple. It's a one-line answer. What is the propaganda of Maya? It's a one-line answer. Srimad Bhagavatam says, 11th canto, propaganda of Maya is only one. You can be happy without Krishna. That's it. Finished. There's only one message, one propaganda, one declaration of Maya, and only one promise. You can be happy without Krishna. You don't need Krishna to be happy. That is the only one-line propaganda of Maya. There's nothing else. And everything she's doing is in alignment with this one particular, what do you say, slogan which she has for herself. She's telling, there's a loud slogan, she's saying, hey, all of you there out there, please listen to me. You don't need Krishna to be happy. Look at this. I have this, and if you don't like this, I have this. If you don't like that, and I have this. And she has a million things at her disposal to keep showing us. And you just keep on looking at that and said, I think it's true. Look at the variety I have here. Right? I have so much of choice. If I don't like this activity, I can do that activity. If I don't like this person, I can go to that person. I have so much choice here. Right? So then, it is such an easy thing for Maya because she keeps on producing newer and newer, what they call as ammunitions of mass distraction. She has in her arsenal so much ammunition of mass distraction, right? To destroy any sane man's consciousness. We're talking about insane man's consciousness. Even a sane man, a civilized man with some discriminatory power is an easy victim to the myriad amount of things which he can offer to us as a choice other than Krishna. And therefore, it is glorified in bhakti to have a simple heart. Sarala Koriya Man, that we sing that song. Sarala Kori Yaman. That song we sing, right? Ibhava, what is that? We have that song, right? Because a simple heart, what is a simple heart? Why are women glorified in this regard? Because when they come to bhakti, they just believe what the guru says, what the devotees say. They just believe in this. It is easy to make them devotees. Prabhupada talks about that. In any gathering, there will be 5 men and 500 women. Why? Because they have a simple heart, right? So, it's not about men and women ultimately. It's about our choice. If we have a simple heart, we need to believe once and for all the words of Prabhupada and the Acharyas who are saying, you, my dear soul, can never be happy without Krishna. Unless we give up our faith in this one line of Maya and put our faith in the word of the Acharya. So ultimately, bhakti lands up with what? Bhakti lands up with the element of Shraddha. Right? In ultimate analysis, bhakti goes into the realm of Shraddha. Right? Our Shraddha that Maya cannot make me happy, and our Shraddha that only Krishna. Therefore, the first book of Prabhupada, which he wrote, is Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. That's a simple, small book which I read decades ago, right? But it's still one of the most beautiful books to read. Why? Because that is the Acharya's promise. And when Krishna promises something, he never goes back on it. When Acharya's promise something, they never go back on it. It is not a part of Acharya's character to say something in public and say, well, maybe, yeah, you know, yeah, it happens, you know, yeah, yeah. He never says that. He's just very clear what he's saying. That is an Acharya. Prabhupada never minced his words. That's why Prabhupada is so great. He never minced his words. And it's very clear in his communication that Maya cannot make you happy. Only Krishna can make you happy. Therefore, serve him, love him, surrender to him. Right? So Prabhupada was very clear, very pertinent, very direct. He was never roundabout. And that's what people like. Oh, today's people don't like that. Modern world doesn't say, hey, wow, how can you say that? Only this and not this. There are so many possibilities. Huh? But for a devotee, he's a devotee because he's more and more eliminating possibilities. Not this, not this, not this. Not this, not this, only Krishna. Not this, only Krishna, not this, only Krishna. Right? So then more and more when we struggle with this very beautiful journey of saying no, more and more no to the anarthas of lust and greed and pride and saying more and more, like, this will not please Krishna, this will not please my guru, this will not please the devotees, this is not good for me. Right? The more and more we say no and the more we say yes to Krishna, Krishna is pleased. And then we attract grace. Therefore, we have Krishna and Balaram. Krishna gives us knowledge, like he's giving knowledge here. And Balaram gives you the strength to live by that knowledge. That's what's called Balaram. And therefore, we need both in our lives, right? Krishna gives a sword of knowledge, and Balaram gives you the power to hold a sword of knowledge. Because, you know, when you hold a sword, now none of us have held a sword in our lives, except when in a drama. Come on, comes, you know, take out a sword made of stainless steel and fight, you know, a drama. It's a stainless steel sword, cannot kill anybody. When you poke it in the stomach, nothing will really happen, except a little bit of scratch at the most. Right? It won't go through and through, right? But these warriors like Shivaji and others, when they fought a war with swords, right? Oof. And we had a sword which could slice human beings and animals in one shot. Of course, what the power of their arms. That's another thing. Right? And, you know, we try to lift 50 kilos of dumbbells and still, you know, we can't hold an army sword. And I don't think we can do that. And what to talk about just holding and fighting with it. We cannot do that, right? So we require bala. We're not talking about physical bala, it's spiritual bala. That bala has to come from Nityananda Balaram. So, and then of course they're represented by the spiritual master. So when you serve the spiritual master, then by his grace you get that bala to follow Krishna's instructions. And therefore, only when we keep on doing that, then we come to the last possibility. We actually have two possibilities for devotees: no to Maya, yes to Krishna. The journey from saying yes to Krishna and yes to Maya. That's our only journey. And by fortifying our consciousness, like you take tonic every day, aloe vera or vitamins, whatever you want, like you take various ashwagandha, etc., etc., whatever people like. But this is our tonic. We keep on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. We keep on associating with Krishna's devotees every day. We keep on chanting Krishna's holy names every day. We keep on hearing, reading the holy scriptures every day. We keep on doing these four things every day: hearing, chanting, reading and associating. This is our primary principle of sadhana bhakti. We do these four things properly every day. We get that strength where we can overcome our, keep moving forward in our journey from lust to the realm of pure love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.